Narayana namaskritya narunteva narutamam devim sarasati shvyasam tatujayam ujirayat nascha prayesu abhadresu nityam bhagavata sivaya bhavadutamasloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. Good morning to the devotees. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So, this morning, Bhavatam class is from Canto 2, Chapter 2, Text 33. Nahyatu nyashiva panta vishata samstrita viha vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yogo yato bhavet Nahyatu nyashiva panta vishata samstrita viha vasudeva bhagavati Bhakti yogo yato bhavet nahyato nyashiva panta vishata samstita viha vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yogo yato bhavet Hare Krishna. Word for word translation by Srila Prabhupada. Na, never. He, certainly. Atta, beyond this, Anya, any other, Shiva, auspicious, Panta, means, Vishata, wandering, Samshita, in the material world, Iha, in this life, Vasudeva, unto Lord Vasudeva, Krishna, Bhagavati, the personality of Godhead. Bhakti yoga, direct devotional service. Yata, wherein, bhave, may result in. Translation by Swami Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. For those who are wandering in the material universe, there is no more auspicious means of deliverance than what is aimed at in the direct devotional service of Lord Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As will be clarified in the next verse, devotional service, or direct bhakti yoga, is the only absolute and auspicious means of deliverance from the grip of material existence. There are many indirect methods for deliverance from the clutches of material existence, but none of them is as easy and auspicious as bhakti yoga. The means of jnana and yoga and other allied disciplines are not independent in delivering a performer. Such activities help one to reach the stage of bhakti yoga after many, many years. In the Bhagavad Gita chapter 12, text 5, it is said that those who are attached to the impersonal feature of the Absolute are liable to many troubles in the pursuit of the desired goal. And the empiricist philosophers, searching after the absolute truth, realize the importance of Vasudeva realization as all in all after many, many births. Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, text 19. As far as yoga systems are concerned, it is also said in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, text 47, that among the mystics who pursue the absolute truth, the one who is always engaged in the service of the Lord is the greatest of all. And the last instruction in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 66, advises fully surrendering unto the Lord, leaving aside all other engagements or different processes for self-realization and liberation from bondage. And the purport of all Vedic literatures is to induce one to accept the transcendental loving service of the Lord by all means. As already explained in the text of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, either direct bhakti yoga or the means which ultimately culminate in bhakti yoga without any tinge of fugitive activity constitutes the highest form of religion. Everything else is simply a waste of time for the performer. Srila Sridhar Swami and all other acharyas like Jiva Goswami, they agree that bhakti yoga is not only easy, simple, natural, and free from trouble, but is the only source of happiness for the human being. Om aginatu vidandasya jnana jnana shalakaya chakshuram militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manovistam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantitam vandeham shri guru shri vita padakamalam shri guru vaishnavam cha shri rupa sagajatam sahagana raghunatham vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Narita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha. E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kantana Mustate. Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhi Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye. Vanchaka Patru Vishcha Kripa Sindhu Vivecha Patitanam Pavanevi Vaishavivyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pavuni Jananda Sridvaita Kadadha Shiva Shani Govar Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Peshtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Adisha Charine Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Padaya Te Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurachi Chayinama Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Imavidi Pachavishinaraya Tasmani Maham Prema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Hare Krishna. So, we'll do the translation again. For those who are wandering in the material universe, there is no more auspicious means of deliverance than what is aimed at in the direct devotional service of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna. So this is very much a direct statement to all of us and also very much underscores the reason why the parampara all the way through Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's disciples and grand disciples, all initiated devotees, we are being taught the same thing that the Parampara is teaching, the descending process. Those wandering the material universe from one planet to another, one lifetime to another, that is us. There is no more means of deliverance, getting out of the material world, than how we have been taught to serve, the direct devotional service of Lord Krishna under the instructions of the spiritual master. Bhakti yoga, the direct bhakti yoga, is the absolute and auspicious means for deliverance from material existence. There are two energies of the Lord, apart from the Tathasta, that is the marginal energy. There's the internal potency of the Lord and the external potency of the Lord. The external energy is what operates the material universes. And the material universes are cosmic jails. Some of them, there's less punishment. Some of them, there's greater punishment, but they're suffering in all of the planets, as has been explained, from Brahma Loka to Patala Loka. All the places of suffering. And as we've, some of us have heard, if not all of us on now, the situation in some of the heavenly planets is some of them are tired of living that life. And they want to go back to Godhead. They know about the spiritual world like we know about the spiritual world. But they also know that life here in this particular planet in Kali Yuga is pretty short, and that if one comes here and takes birth and involves himself in Bhakti Yoga, serving Srila Prabhupada, serving the devotees, serving all gurus, serving the deities, the chances are very high of not only leaving this material world once and for all, as it says in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when one attains the spiritual world, they don't come back to this material world. As a matter of fact, anybody that's going through suffering in the material world wouldn't even think of coming back to the material world. The place of birth, which has its difficulties, death, which has its difficulties, old age, which has its difficulties, and disease. The very nature of the world itself is dis-ease, not being at ease. The body giving problems. They are all related to the body. Birth, death, old age, and disease are all related to the body. And that's what you get anyone that comes to the material world. And if they keep suffering, why would anybody, knowing what we know now about devotional service to the Lord and how to get back to the spiritual world, want to come back here or even stay here? It's interesting how, you know, people make plans and more plans for staying in this particular lifetime. Because they put at the back of their minds that, yeah, not me. Other people are dying, but not me, yeah? My time won't come anytime soon. You can't say it won't come at all, but say it won't come anytime soon. So let me just make plans. Let's make plans and more plans. Yet this text is telling us there is a way to be delivered from the material world, and that is direct devotional service of the Lord. See, Prabhupada says in the purport that there are other methods, indirect methods, that ultimately save one or from the material world. But to want to be totally saved from the material world, they have to come to that level of service, devotional service, Bhakti Yoga. That is the topmost. So Srila Prabhupada says Gyan Yoga, there's Dhyan Yoga, there's other types of yoga. They are there. There's some discipline to them. There's a way to perform those. But they're not independent by themselves to deliver anyone from the material world. Therefore, to reach Bhakti Yoga, if you go through this, other Gyan Yoga and Dhyana Yoga and so on, it will take sometimes lifetimes, but definitely many, many years to get to this point. Then Srila Prabhupada also quotes Bhagavad Gita chapter 12, text 5. That there are some who are going through this process. And for now, they are attached to the impersonal feature of the Absolute. And they go through so many troubles because of the nature of the type of goal that they're pursuing. The impersonal feature. They fail to realize the personal feature of the Lord. And they will come to that Vasudeva realization after many, many, many births. So Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, text 5, talks about these people in the impersonal feature. And they come after many, they get to that point after many, 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 many births. And that means staying in the material world and going through so much. Anyway, text 5 of chapter 12. Chapter 12 is entitled Devotional Service in Bhagavad Gita. Klesho diktaraste sham avyataksakta te chetasam avyakta igatir dukam devaha bir avaptyate. Translation, for those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. Those who are attached to the Brahma Jyoti, the effulgence, and it can be quite impressive. We see the sun as impressive, but the sun is only a reflection of the Brahma Jyoti, the sun that we have in the material world, which gives light and gives heat, only a reflection. So how wonderful the actual brilliance and beauty of the Lord's effulgence. So some people get attached to it. Some people just literally swear by it. This is it. This is it. But there's a problem. To make progress in that discipline is difficult for those in the material world. There are some things that we'll realize later, hopefully, that Srila Prabhupada has given us that are gems that we can't ever finish being grateful to Srila Prabhupada. But before we even get to that, some group of transcendentalists, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, they follow the path of the inconceivable, impersonal feature of God. They are called Gyan Yogi. Gyan, knowledge. And persons who are in full consciousness, engaged in serving devotionally the Lord, they are called Bhakti Yogis. So there's Gyan Yogis and there's Bhakti Yogis. So there's Karma Yogis too, but that we won't get into that. Yeah, that's even further down. Gyan Yoga can bring a person ultimately after a number of years, sometimes lifetimes, to the process of Bhakti Yoga, being in direct service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Bhakti Yoga, as we've heard a few minutes back, is easier and natural for the embodied soul. Why? Well, Bhakti Yoga, direct service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, involves relationship with Him. It also involves serving the personal feature of the Lord. As you said, we've heard here, Gyan Yoga, impersonal. So they're not serving the personal feature of the Lord. It's impersonal. Therefore, one of the things that comes from this is that the impersonalist, they can never think of worshiping the deity of the Lord. Because if you look at the service of the deity of the Lord, that is personal service. So the impersonalist is not connected with service to the Lord, the personal service to the Lord. There are two other things too that the impersonalist would be connected with, but there's one that's very, very important that they are disconnected with. Bhakti Yogi, that's we've been trained in that, we accept the deity of Krishna as worshipable. So there is bodily conception. It's not difficult for us because we already have bodies and we already, even in our conditioned mentality and conditioned situation, conditioned state, we still relate to each other on a personal level. We still relate to each other. So we already understand that. And so to transfer that idea to relating to Krishna as a person is not difficult. But that's in Bhakti Yogi. For the Bhakti Yogi. But those who want to get to the impersonal feature go through different forms of worship, different forms of knowledge that they have to imbibe and go through so much. Years and years and years and years and years of understanding, knowledge and more knowledge. But not direct personal worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport of this text that we're talking from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, text 5. The Lord is absolute. Yes, there are ways to worship the Lord, but when we worship the Lord in the deity form, because of the mercy of the Lord, because we don't have these kind of eyes that are spiritual, that we can see the Lord, but the Lord has given us the mercy, which Srila Prabhupada explains. He comes in the deity form with material qualities like stone, wood, brass, paint. But Srila Prabhupada says, that worship is called saguna worship. Sagun. And it is not idol worship. It is, in fact, worship of the Lord, because the Lord is absolute and things about Him are Him. Therefore, the material qualities, the material things that are used to form or put the deity together, once the mantras are said, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, service to Him is like serving in the spiritual world. Although it is practiced for us because we are conditioned, but that service is like serving in the spiritual world. The other day in a lecture, Anna Maharaj was making the point about the pujaris who serve the deity on the altar. And I'm not talking about when it comes time for arti. I'm talking about when it's time to bathe the Lord and dress the Lord and so on. And a few pujaris in every temple have that service. He was explaining that it was a very, very important service. Because that's the Lord that's being bathed. That's the Lord that's being chanted to during the bathing process. That's the Lord who's being changed. The deity of the Lord is the Lord. And in the spiritual world, very, very few intimate devotees of the Lord get the opportunity. Those who are very, very, very close to the Lord get that opportunity. Yet, by the mercy of the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he's taught us, and devotees have learned, and they do their very best to make the deities look very nice every single day in the temples. It is a very, very, very honorable service. But as far as the spiritual credits for doing that service go, it is no different, as Srila Prabhupada says, from those who even sweep the temple. They're not on the altar. They sweep the temple, they cook for the Lord, they do other kinds of menial services. Taking or sweeping the cow barn and all of that, everything connected to the Lord is absolute service. And the spiritual credit is the same. Our service has to be very much connected with the attitude with which we serve. We should never ever have service in the mood of, well, I was told to do it, then I'll do it, then when I finish, I just go do what I want to do. No. We should be excited to serve at all times. And if that excitement is going down, that should be an indication that there's a problem. Bells should go in our minds. Danger, danger, danger. We should seek help immediately, especially praying to Guru and Gauranga. The Lord, I'm feeling a little bit lethargic, and that's not going to help my devotion. Sometimes in chanting, we feel that way also. This is the time to pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for help. Because this is very, very serious business. And as we talked about, there's some people in the heaven, some entities, denizens in the heavenly planets, they're tired of them. They want to come back. We want to come to this particular planet. To be what? To be a bhakti yogi. And we are getting that opportunity now. So dhyan yoga, knowledge, and all long meditations and so on, they don't come to that level that we have now. Bhakti yogi. We are bhakti yogis. But there is one situation. Are we pure bhakti yogis? For most of us, the answer is no. So Srila Prabhupada has given us the highest form of yoga practice. But we have to come up to that particular level. So we have to help each other to come up to that particular level. The impersonal way to spiritual realization is difficult. As Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, they have to learn Vedic literatures, the Upanishads, they have to understand non-perceptual feelings, realize so many processes, and it's not easy for the common man. But the common man who has been told how to serve devotionally can take to it and take to it right away, and they don't have to be a scholar. That is the important point about devotional service. Simply by the guidance of the spiritual master who is bona fide, and simply by offering regular obeisances to the deity, simply by hearing the glories of the Lord, and what we do best, eating the remnants of foodstuffs, prasadam, offered to the Lord. By doing that, the bhakti yogi, the devotee, realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead very easily. So, the impersonalists are taking so much trouble with the risk of not even realizing the absolute truth. But the personalist, the devotee, the bhakti yogi, without any risk or difficulty or trouble, approaches the Supreme Personality directly. So, the surrendering process, surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is most important, and that is what the bhakti yogi, the devotee, we the devotees that are practicing this, are told to do. Sarva dharman parityaja maham ekam sharanam bhaja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami mascha. So Srila Prabhupada advises that nobody should take up this troublesome path of self-realization, the impersonal path, because there's uncertainty in the result. Now, as we're hearing, we are connected to bhakti yoga. We're connected to bhakti yoga by the mercy of a spiritual master. But you might, as you hear and think, but I'm not involved in impersonal, so is this necessary for me? That may be a very good question. The fact of the matter is, we go out to serve others. And so if we know what others are going through, especially if we meet somebody that is convinced about the impersonal path, then we are armed with the kind of information from which to advise that person to take to the direct devotional service of the Lord. It is a difficult path. As a matter of fact, this was about a couple of years ago, at the Harrisburg temple, there was one Mataji that came, white-bodied Mataji. So she's new, came to the temple, and she had actually been with Mayavadis earlier. So obviously the impersonal feature of the Lord was what she was thinking of. And also merger. But she didn't even talk about merging and becoming like Narayan, like they talk about, which obviously Dr. Chaitanya is condemned, and Srila Prabhupada always condemns. But he said that the world is false. She said the world is false. Nothing is real. And she and I had an opportunity to talk Of course, we have been told that it is temporary. Falsity is not stressed temporary. It is stressed. It's easy to prove that the world is temporary. We ourselves have temporary bodies. We are a great example of that. So he said, nothing, this is not real, that's not real, that's not, all right, so the 1980 thing, this is not that, it's not that. So then I told her, all right, I happened to find out that she had a BMW. She brought it, and I said, okay, well, everything is nothing, then, so I can take your car, right? You give me your car, it's nothing, it's not real. And she started fighting me on that one, and I'm saying, well, why? You said everything is not, it's all right, so then I'll take it. I'm telling you, it's temporary. So at some point, it will break down and you'll have to get another car. That you can understand. A lot of people do. But if it's not real, and I'm saying it's real, then the car is mine, not yours. She fought me on that. And finally, obviously, I was winning the argument, right, the debate. So she finally said, well, I don't want to give up my idea of the impersonalism. I don't want to give it up. I'm comfortable with that. I don't want to give it up. I felt sorry for her. And sure, she didn't come back. But this is what people think. The impersonal aspect. Now, Srila Prabhupada explains that a person in impersonalism, they are likely to realize, obviously, Gyan Yogi, so knowledge that they'll have. And we have Satchit Ananda. Satchit Ananda. We have eternality, knowledge, and then bliss. The person who is an impersonalist would realize eternality, because they know this place is, you know, it's not, even if they don't call it real, whatever they think it is, they know it's not going to go on and on and on. They want to be out of that. So eternality, if they merge into the, you know, Brahman effulgence, whatever they think of, there's also knowledge, because that's what they involve in, again, knowledge. But one thing that is missing is the Ananda. Bliss, the blissful portion, they never realize that. Now, just think about a person that it doesn't have a chance to be blissful. We are all seeking happiness. Bliss is the highest happiness. So then when you're cut off because of the impersonal approach, how unfortunate. You won't realize the blissful nature of the Lord. So this way of serving is way, 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 way lower. And it's said that it takes a while for a person who is involved in that to even come to devotional service. And we have been put in devotional service back to yoga right away by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's only one problem. We're not perfect. We have our faults. And so to become perfect, we have to, or become pure, as it says in the purification process, we have to take that part very, 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 very seriously. We have a few suggestions a little later. So, it takes a while, as is explained in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 19. Bhavanam janmanamante, jnanavanam prapadyate, vasudeva savam iti, samahatma shudurupa. After many, many births, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is rare. Now see what Srila Prabhupada has done for us. We have come to this particular path in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada is giving us, breaking down Krishna Consciousness in a very simple way, very simple language, with very good reasoning, and over and over and over again stressing how we can disconnect from the material, even though we see how this physical body, but at least our mentally and definitely our soul, given to spiritual knowledge and spiritual practice. He who is actually in knowledge surrenders to Krishna, knowing that he is Sarva Karanam Karanam, as Lord Brahma says, the cause of all causes. And that soul is rare. So Srila Prabhupada is training us to be rare souls. That's what it means. But we still have a little bit to go in terms of helping each other to cut off those kinds of things that can sabotage our bhakti yoga. So by default, literally, Srila Prabhupada's teaching in Krishna consciousness are turning ISKCON devotees into rare souls, Samahatma Sudurava, literally. However, we're still at the neophyte stage because we have several faults, and hence the spiritual master's role is to direct us first, instructional devotional service. Do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. Vaidhi sadhana bhakti. Until such time that we naturally develop love for serving Supreme Personality of Godhead, for serving Guru, for serving the devotees without a false ego. Now, in order to do that, as we said in chapter 13, texts 8 through 12 of Bhagavad Gita, the qualities there that Krishna summarizes and calls it knowledge, and everything outside of that is ignorance. The first thing that's mentioned is humility. Humility is needed, even at this time when impersonalism has been removed from our conscience. Impersonalism we talked about is not for us, it's for, because we are serving directly, the personal. It's for us to begin to convince others that it's an easier process to be personal. If you meet somebody that is convinced about impersonalism, then you can use some of the arguments here by Srila Prabhupada to help them. You are going to be blissful. You are going to be serving the Lord directly. You know about nature. You know about something involved in the spiritual world. The Lord is the one that is the generator of all of these. Everything comes from Him. Everything comes from Him. And so you want to be involved in personal service, and that's where you're going to be blissful. Even now, when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we are in bliss. When we do on Harinam, we are in bliss. The rest of the world looks at us and says, who are these people? Who are these people walking this? Everybody is just in some sort of anxiety about how to manage life. And they're just jumping up and dancing and so on. Even in winter, people go for Harinam. As my spiritual master, Bhakti Thera Maharaj, saw devotees for the first time in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It was in winter time that he saw. Everybody's trying to get to the first room they can get into, or building they can get into to escape the cold. And devotees are out there jumping up and down, dancing. So what kind of people are these? Maybe they are on drugs, or they have something that's very, 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 very high. This is how he was thinking. Finally, he joined them, joined in New York, and found out. Still, the great thing that we need to be involved with as the first initiative that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita chapter 13, text 8, Amanidva, humility. So we really need to understand that it should be the cornerstone of all our activities, humility. Sometimes we have situations that we are disagreeing with another devotee. Then that causes a problem. So how should we approach it? When a problem arises, now it takes a humble person to have this kind of view of it. Look at the other person's point of view rather than ours. As you see, you have your point, but the person that's talking also has their point. And the problem can be solved a lot more quickly if the devotee that is humble sees the other person's point that they're making. Now we go a little further than that. So somebody may be a fault, somebody may not be a fault, but there is a problem and people are on two different ideas. They have two different ideas. If we see it as our fault first, then, and it's the same thing, if we switch our mind to the other person's point and put ours on hold, then it makes us think of ways to resolve the problem. rather than try to prove that we're correct if we see the other person's point of view. And sometimes we're the ones that are correct, though. Sometimes it is that way. Now, the problem is resolved, as we said, you hear the other person's point of view and respond based on that point of view. Now, it may be that they may not be right, and we may be the one that's right, but they are convinced about their part of it, so no matter what we say, they're not going to hear us. So the problem never gets solved. If we put our point of view on hold, and later we are correct, Krishna will arrange to reveal it to the other person. And I've seen this happen over and over and over again, only because the other person, only because we just put ourselves to A, person A and person B. That person A was patient enough to listen to person B's point. And even though person A still thinks that they are correct, but because the relationship between A and B has to be maintained, and if you keep arguing, it's going to break the relationship, we resort to humility. And believe me, Krishna always helps, because Krishna helps us to grow. Guru helps us to grow. Later on, if we're correct, it's only a matter of time that the situation will be, in fact, revealed to person B. We can also pray sincerely to Guru. Or to Srila Prabhupada, if you're a Srila Prabhupada disciple, your own Guru. If you're not a Srila Prabhupada disciple, pray to your Guru. And, of course, your Param Guru for help with our weaknesses. To admit weakness shows humility. Any person that is humble, wants to really practice humility, will admit to their weaknesses. Even if it means just admitting to themselves about their weaknesses. But you also have to seek somebody who you can, as it says in Nectar of Instruction, reveal your mind to and get help. Now, that brings up a problem. The other day, they're asking, and there's another discussion involving Vishnu Gadapa, who was the one that was preaching at that time. And the point came up, now how do devotees know who is trustworthy enough to reveal their minds to? You can go to the spiritual master, yes. The spiritual master, sometimes some people don't want to go to the spiritual master because you reveal something to the spiritual master and it's really, really bad on our part. We might get chastised by the spiritual master. And some devotees don't like that. Well, that's understandable. But actually, chastisement for the spiritual master helps us to grow. Because the spiritual master is like a coach that is helping us to be better devotees. Now, what about revealing your mind to somebody who is not a spiritual master, but experienced enough and you have some faith in that person, but you can't quite be sure that what you tell them, that they won't tell somebody else? The suggestion is given that you can, in fact, reveal something to that particular devotee, but as a test. You reveal to that particular devotee something that is not going to be too damaging to us if it came out. You can start like that and see how well that person protects that information. So information that's not so damaging, you can talk about it. That damage in terms of that you'd be embarrassed if it ever came out. But you want help. It's a weakness. You can, in fact, talk about something that is not so troublesome and start with that and see how well that person protects that information. And if he protects it well and you don't hear anybody come tell you what goes around comes around, tell you that, then you know that you can trust that person, and then so from that point on you can reveal a little more. But it's always good to have someone that you can reveal our minds to. Otherwise we become the judge, jury, prosecution, defense, everything, and Maya will have a field day with us. We also should accept, this is to help that to be humble now, we should accept that we don't know much of anything spiritual. I didn't say we don't know anything spiritual at all. I didn't say that. We said, except that we don't know much. And therefore, that gives us the opportunity to hear and read in the Shastra and hear other lectures every day. Because if you come on with that mentality, then you know, oh, somebody will tell me something that I haven't heard from the lecture. Some other things, it may be a repeat. That's good. Repeat is reinforcement. Not bad. It's reinforcement. But some things too, we never heard of, we might wind up hearing. Now, the thing is, it is true that we don't know much spiritual. What spirituality? God consciousness. Krishna? Krishna? The Krishna that we know that he is what? Unlimited. So how much do we really know about Krishna? By the mercy of Guru, we know the nature of Krishna a little bit. And then when we serve and we begin to like the service, becomes our habit, and we begin to like it, and then we develop some love for it, he would reveal himself more. And this is called vigyan. We have more realized knowledge. But on the whole, we really don't know much about Krishna. And that is true. Krishna is unlimited. So if Krishna is infinite, even if you know a million things, it's still very small compared to a person that's infinite qualities. And so we'll be then, that gives us the impetus to keep hearing and keep hearing and keep hearing. And the hearing process helps us to not only appreciate and love Krishna more, increase our love, but it also helps us with that purification process. Because if some things in a week, sometimes it is through the lectures that some things will be said for us to realize, oh, this is about my life. I need to fix this. I need to fix that. A humble person also goes through service even when there is inconvenience. We never stop serving due to inconvenience. Serve devotees, serve a spiritual master. Even when the parts of it are inconvenient. See, there's a test. And we do test what? To pass. So we do that, and Krishna will give mercy and purify us literally from our faults, making us more excited about Krishna consciousness. We should also be determined to serve with high quality. Very, very important. Just don't serve just to serve, but we serve with the best that we can put out. And that's what will make Guru and Krishna pleased with us. And finally, never criticize. See the good in people. We all have faults. Everybody has higher nature and lower nature. And as long as we're relating, we'll see the lower nature, but we shouldn't make a mantra of it. This person is like this, this person is like this. No. Never criticize. We all have faults. And the more we talk about other people's faults, then we make the bodies uncomfortable, and we ourselves become a turnoff then. This society is society with the majority of devotees not pure. So we shouldn't be surprised by the faults from devotees. That's why we have to patiently deal with every situation. We do it respectfully and not offend. And this way, we will get purified, and we already, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy and mercy of the Parampara, are in the Bhakti Yoga, the direct devotion service of the Lord, and not the impersonal part. The impersonal part is now to learn such that we can help people who are in the impersonal to be moved to the personal. But we are already in the personal. We just have to clean up and be better devotees. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much for allowing me to do the service. And now we can, if you like, unmute. And let's have some discussion. Hare Krishna. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This particular devotee was in Harrisburg, and this particular person, I just saw him about two or three times. I don't know. No, she doesn't have a devotee name. There's an American name. So I don't think we're talking about the same person. But yeah, she has a BMW. Go ahead, anyway. Okay. So you know how they are determined to stay to stay their course, huh? It's not so easy to convince them, yeah. But he has a set of avatars, and there's hope then. You can tell her that Lord Shiva, Vaishnava Yata Shambhu. Yeah. Yeah, you know, some people pray to Shiva obviously for material boons, and she got a BMW and she's Om Namo Shivaya in the back, so you know how connected with getting material boons. Yeah. Okay. It's a different person from the one, you know, she doesn't have it's not a white BMW, I saw the car, that's a silver, but anyway, still, and she doesn't have anything in the back of it. If you tell them, okay, my question to you is, when you told her that when she was the greatest devotee, how did she take that, the devotee of Krishna? Oh. Then she accepted that. Yeah, my next question is that if Shiva is a devotee of Krishna and you agree, then Shiva is serving Krishna, why don't you go to the top then and serve Krishna himself? Because Shiva is doing the same thing. Wouldn't Shiva be happy with you? That's the argument I could not know. Yeah. Shiva is a great devotee, and just keep reading Srimad Bhagavatam, you learn a whole lot from it. Did she have Shripapa's Bhagavatam? That's good. Hopefully she'll turn Srimad Bhagavatam. And if she turns Srimad Bhagavatam, her mind will be changed. So hopefully she has that, that's good. Hare Krishna. Thank you for sharing. Thank you very much for sharing. Any other devotee want to make some comments? Yeah, it's a tough one. Srila Prabhupada is in position, you know, as you've said, he's in the position of guru. Guru is like, you know, if you have a team and the guru is the coach. And sometimes the coach can use words that are strong, to try to get our minds, in the right place, lack of a better word. And the professor, well, For Srila Prabhupada, the professor is also, you know, someone who is also learning. Even though in the university they teach about to Srila Prabhupada, that is another person who also needs help, literally. And so he went but the other point about Srila Prabhupada, you can also read minds. You know, many videos from Srila Prabhupada devotees, things that happened when they're relating to him, they could tell he could read minds. And so, he knows when to use what words for the person he's speaking to, because he can tell what the person is thinking. So that's another thing, to pop up. And as far as Rascal, I've heard another situation, that Srila Prabhupada literally was asked by a guest, why do you use the word rascal, fools and rascals? And Srila Prabhupada says, well, I don't use fools and rascals. Krishna says fools and rascals, and I'm just repeating it. So he got out of that one. It says, yeah, fools deride me, you know, thinking that I'm the Lord. That's in the Bhagavad Gita. So I'm just repeating what Krishna says. Krishna says, surrender unto me, and I say, Krishna says, surrender to him. So surrender to him. So he says fools and rascals, I say fools and rascals, because Krishna says that. Anyway, that's another thing. Srila Prabhupada is obviously very difficult to beat, because he has an answer every time for Krishna, through Krishna's mercy, through the Parampara, to help everyone grow in the end. It takes time, and that's why we keep hearing and hearing and hearing, and that improves, and we have more discussion, and that helps us to learn more. So this is just a lifelong activity, this whole hearing, and of course the chanting also. Hare Krishna, thanks. Yeah, she's unmuted herself, I think. Oh. Okay. But, yes, it's a lifelong situation. And we are very fortunate. I hope we realize how fortunate we are that we are in, from this text, you know, some of us could have been in an impersonal type, Gyan yoga type learning, and we would have wasted this lifetime. But Srila Prabhupada has put us in bhakti directly. And what's left of us to do is the purification process itself. That takes time, purification process. But we are on the right path by the mercy of Guru. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Any other comments? Hare Krishna. Jai. Yeah. When people understand that, then we stop going after sense gratification, because that happiness that comes from serving Supreme Personality of God, serving devotees, serving Guru, is very, very different from what any gratification can give us from material senses, when we use our senses in serving the Lord. It's wonderful. Hare Krishna. Okay. Any other comments? Questions? Alright, looks like that's it then. Thank you very much. Vanchakapatrubhishta kripa sunive evacha titanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Hare Krishna.